Well, I believe I have a message today that is very timely and very pivotal. I've already preached it one time, and so I feel like it is. And I feel like it's something that God wants to get into our DNA as a church. So as your pastor, I want you to hear it that way. This is very important for us to hear this message today. I think it's going to help you in your relationships. I think it's going to help you in your family life, financially. I believe this is something that God wants to get into us. So I'm going to be speaking on this subject over the next several weeks. And if you're titling, if you like to title your message, by the way, we have notes now. There's blank note cards right there in front of you. Those of you, just look at that seat back in front of you. If you'd like to take notes, we have those there. And if you're titling, just put the word reigning, just reigning, not R-A-I-N, R-E-I-G-N, okay? Reigning. How many of you men, let me talk to the men just a minute. How many of you men find yourself looking more like your daddy as you get older? Just raise your hand. How many of you have an entire intercessory prayer team saying, you wish God let me look like mama? Can we please? Same with my boys. My wife is gorgeous, and the boys came out looking like daddy. Luckily, the young one is starting to look more like mom. I think the prayers are working. How many of you not only found yourself looking like your dad, how many find yourself acting like your dad? Would you just raise your hand? Or how about you wives would raise your hand and say, just like him? Even the things that you said you would never do that you find yourself doing. I make noises. My dad's a grunter. He grunts all the time. If he's working on something, he'll go, just twist and just turn the screw. I did it the other day. I grunt. I said, dear God, I've become my dad. When I bend down now, I do what we call him Papa Rags. I do Papa Rags. Oh, God. Okay. Man, you know what I'm talking about? It's just how it is. With that in mind, in the beginning, God created everything. He made everything that there was. He made the stars, the sky. He created it all. And then after he had created everything else, it's almost like he said, now, let me get to what I really want to get to. I saved the best for last. You know, as he spoke everything else into existence, let there be light, let there be trees, let there be, and it just happened. But when it came time to create mankind, he got down on his hands and knees, on his knees, and he scooped man out of the dust of the ground. In other words, he got his hands dirty, hand making us. He created us. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, so I hope you're okay with that. Those of you that are watching online, it should show up there on your screen. By the way, I just want to take a moment and just say this. Last week, we had as many people watching online as we had in person. As many people. So I want to give a big, I want to give a big round of applause to Bobby Johnson and all of our production team. You hardly ever see them. They're like offensive linemen. You only get their name called when they mess up, all right? But I want right now to give them a great big hand and thank them for all that they do. Guys, gals, thank you so much. So those of you in on site here, those of you in overflow, it will be on the screens for you. And so for the rest of you, it may be hard to get to that, but if you'd like to, I'm reading most of it from the New Living Translation today. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, this is after he's created everything else. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. In other words, I've created everything else. I've made stars and I've made the heavens and I've made the trees and I've made a giraffe, but I've never created anything like me. I've never created something that can get me, understand me, that I can communicate with. And so I'm going to create something in my image, my child, my children. And they're not just going to look like me, but they're going to be beings. They're going to be like me. We're not human doings, we're human beings. I want you to be like me. All right? You got that? Everybody say beings. That's very important. I want you to hear this because this next part, they're going to be like me. Not just look, be. And so here he goes. Very next phrase. They will reign. Everybody say reign. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, and reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. I'm going to make them in my image, and just like me, they are going to reign. Listen, lean in. It is God's plan that his children would reign. This has always been God's plan. This will always be God's plan, that his children rule and reign. We read the beginning. Now let's jump to the end of the book. We read Genesis. Let's go to Revelations. Let's look at the ending. Revelations 22:3. No longer, this is in heaven, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. Let me just stop right there. Can you imagine how beautiful that's going to be? That is heaven. Heaven means there is no curse over anything. In other words, there will be no more cancer. There will be no more divorce. There will be no more death. He's going to wipe every tear from our eye. There will be no more pimples or halitosis. Come on. There will be no quarrels and struggles. Come on, you hear what I'm saying today? There will be no curse over anything. Because everything that we hate in life, everything that kills us in life, everything that destroys us in life is because there's a curse on it. But in heaven, there will be no curse over anything. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. And his name will be written on their foreheads, verse 5, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them. And here's the thing I want us to get us today. I want you to read that last sentence with me on three. One, two, three. And they will reign forever and ever. This is how he made us at the beginning, and this is how we're going to be living at the end, and this is how he wants us to be living right now. God created us to reign. God fully expected Adam and Eve to reign. And God fully expects you and I to reign. I want to help you today. I want to help me today. I want us to leave this place with a different mindset about living our life. How many know that if you want to live a different way, you got to think a different way? And it begins with thoughts. The Bible says, take every thought into captivity. Because those thoughts, if you linger on them, become a way of thinking, which becomes a mindset, which becomes a way of seeing the world, which becomes a way of living. So if we can change the way we think, put a filter that we can have an understanding. The Bible says that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, not your heart, your mind. Come on, just poke yourself real hard right on the head, right here. Come on, some of you aren't doing it. I want to see a red mark. Come on, right here. Poke yourself right here. Change that way of thinking. That's what I want us to do today. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want us to get to a place that you and I are having this understanding of what God, how God created us to live, how God created us to be. Because if we can understand how we're supposed to be, we can understand what we're supposed to do. God created you to reign. Now, I've got a couple of complaints from folks that say, I tell you to turn to your neighbor too much. I don't like these people, but they complain, all right? So I have to listen to them. I'm joking. They're introverts, and they just, it's weird, you know? So, but I'm going to ask you, okay? I'm trying to cut it down to 1 or 2 times a week, but I need you to do this. I need you to look at your favorite neighbor right now. Look at them right now. Those of you that are seated, just 2 of you, this is going to be weird, but you've got to turn to them. Look at them and say, God created you to reign. Come on, I want you to believe it. God made you to reign. Thank you. He did not create you to be an accountant. He didn't make you to be a dentist. He didn't make you to be a musician. He didn't create you to be a mama. That's not why he created you. He created you to reign. And whatever era you're in, you reign. You rule. That's how God made us. Now, in Christianity, that doesn't go over very well because it's all about humility. You know, it's like, oh, you got to be humble. Yeah, that's true. You do. But we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want you to have a clear understanding is that God created us to rule and to reign. And he created us to reign over everything. Not just something. Not one thing. Everything. Look what he says. Genesis 1:27. God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky. We've already read this. Verse 29, this is important. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given, everybody say given, every green plant for all the wild animals, the birds, the small animals. And then this last line, everything that has life. I didn't call you just to reign over an apple tree. I called you to reign over everything. And not just in Eden. Now, God created this beautiful place, this paradise called Eden. That was their home. But they were supposed to go out into the world and then come back to that place. It's really, I believe, a type and a shadow of the church, the body of Christ, where we're supposed to go out and do what we're called to do. And then we come. God wanted Adam and Eve ruling and reigning over the entire earth, all of it. God has called you and I to reign over every situation and over every place that we find ourselves. No matter who it's with, no matter where you are, God has called you to reign there. If he has put you there, he has put you there to rule and to reign. Over your family, in your relationships, in your career, in your community, in your finances. Come on, how many of you, your finances rule and reign over you more than you rule and reign over them? They're telling you what you're going to do and what you can't do. You can't take a PTO day. You can't take a vacation. You can't buy that. You can't do that. Your finances are telling you what to do instead of you telling your finances what to do. Oh, don't make me go to meddling today. All right? Instead of amens, there may be some uh-ohs. Come on, how many of you would be honest and say that your time rules and reigns over you? Time tells you what to do. It tells you what you have time to do. It tells you what you're going to focus on. Instead of you and I ruling and reigning over our time, time reigns and rules over us. Your kids, some of you, your kids are reigning over you. They're telling you what you're going to do. They're telling you what sport they're going to play, what they're going to eat. They're telling you what they identify as. They're telling you all kinds of stuff. And they're reigning over us. Instead of God has given us those children for us to steward, to protect, to love, and to rule and reign, just to be honest. Don't be quiet on me, please. Come on. I wore my seersucker suit today. I had to pull it out before Labor Day, you know. Can't wear it after that. You and I are called to rule and to reign. We are made in the image of God. I want you to understand. I think we say that, and we just kind of, you know, move over it. You and I were made in the image of God, in the exact image of his son. As he was creating us, he was looking and perfecting us, creating us in the image of his son. Not just to look like him, to be like him. And I want you to see how he is. Look at this, Philippians 2. I want you to look at it. I want you to look at him. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble, everybody say humble, position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Now, I want to be very clear, and I want you to hear this. I want you to, because there are times that things can be taken out of context. If you just listen to this message, you may not hear this. So I want you to hear the backside. I want to be very clear. Reigning does not mean entitlement. Ruling, when I say ruling and reigning, it does not mean I'm conceited and cocky, and everybody's got to do what I got to say. No, real reigning comes from being humble. Real ruling happens through humility. I love the story. I wish I'd have thought about it. We'd have had it on the screens today. But at the Last Supper, when Jesus is having his last meal with the disciples, he's getting ready. It's like game time. It's that locker room. You're huddling up before you go out. You're going to give them the last big rah-rah. I'm going to sin. I'm going to die. I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to sin. I'm leaving it with you boys, all right? Now, what's the thing you're going to tell them? I'll tell you what I'd have done. Some of you heard me say this. I would have went and found the deadest person I could find, just been dead for about 4 days. I just drug them in there and just plopped them on the table. And then I just raised the dead. Come on. Mic drop. I'm out, boys. Come on. How many would have done something like that? No? Y'all are better than I am. And I'd have ridden out on a white horse, baby. Come on. Yeah, not him. You know what he did? He took a towel, knelt, washed their feet. This was the lowest job in the household. They didn't have shoes like we have now. Some of them didn't wear shoes. If they did, they were sandals. And so the worst job was to clean the feet. You may imagine how nasty and dirty that was? You clean their feet. And that's what he did. He stooped down in humility. But I love, there's a passage of scripture which says this, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had placed all things in his hands, knelt and washed the disciples' feet. You can only truly serve in humility if you know your authority. Insecure, inferior people don't know how to serve. They know how to be a slave, and they fuss about it, complain about it, get upset about it. Real people that serve with a servant's heart, those are people who know who they are. Those are people who know who they are in Christ. When you have this true understanding of who you are and whose you are, that's when you can serve. Now, I want you to understand this. There's a big difference in humility and humiliation. You hear me? Humility is, I'm going to humble myself. Humiliation is, you're going to be humble. I'm going to put you down. That's what the world does to us. That's what life does to us. That's what sin does to us. It humiliates us. And that's why we get careful. We get a little leery when we start talking about serving and being humble, because you're equating humility with humiliation. And you've been saying all your life, no one's going to ever do that to me again. You're not going to treat me that way. Church hurt me. That man hurt me. That girl hurt me. It will never happen again. And so you have this stiff back and stiff neck, and I'm not going to happen again. Don't call humiliation humility. That's what I want to help us with today, to have a true understanding of what God has called us to do. Because when we have that real understanding of our authority, we won't have a problem serving. By the way, we need to go to a third service, especially after Labor Day and fall takes off. But it's hard for us because we need help. We need more volunteers. We don't really have enough. Our kids ministry, we need more volunteers in our kids ministry. I would encourage you, I didn't even plan this. It's not a shameless plug. It's just a plug, okay? If you've ever considered serving, I would encourage you that the people that are living the most abundant life, the most free life, the most fun life are the people that are in groups and the people that are serving. I can tell you that as a pastor. Coming on Sunday is awesome, but I would encourage you to get locked in. Well, I'm scared of kids, okay? Well, then be security, all right? You can do security and don't be scared of bad people. Just be scared of kids, right? Or you can be a hall monitor. You don't have to take care of the kids. You can be the one that brings the snacks. Or I walked in the other day, one of my favorite things is I saw our buddy Cooper. Cooper was on the ground just wrestling with a kid and having a blast. It's fun, all right? I would encourage you to find a place to serve. So he says, I'm going to humble myself. And he said this. He said, you're not taking my life. That's humiliation. I'm going to lay it down. He wanted to be very clear. That wasn't him being conceited or cocky. It was just making a clear line of delineate. How do you say it? Thank you. Someone smart, say it for me. Thank you. You just make a clear line, right? Yeah. That's what I said, I think. He was just making it clear. You're not taking this because I'm sowing this. I'm giving this. I'm laying my life down. You're not robbing it from me. And so because he was humble and obedient, we're back to Philippians 2, verse 9, therefore. My daddy was my pastor. My daddy always taught me, if you see a therefore, you see what it's there for. In other words, you go to the preceding scripture. The preceding scripture says, because Jesus was humble and obedient, therefore God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How many believe that that's the Savior that we serve? Amen? That's him. He has the highest honor. He's in the place of highest honor. That is where he is. Now let's look at Revelation again. Let's go back to chapter 19. Then I saw heaven open. I told you I'm reading a lot of scriptures. Is this all right? Is it too much for you? What if someone said, yeah, a little bit, just a little over the quota, tad bit? Could we backtrack a little? Could we take a couple out? Just be awkward then, wouldn't it? Listen. Then I saw heaven open and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes are like a flame of fire and on his head were many crowns. Listen to this. He was born and placed in a manger. He grew up a carpenter's son, but he became a mighty man. Listen, he had a name that was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juices flowing from a wine press. And on his robe at his thigh was written this title. Come on, Hills family. Come on, believers. I want you to say this with me. What is his name? King of kings and Lord of all lords. Line them up. Line up all the kings. Line up all the lords. The one that I serve is King and Lord above them all. That's him. That's how I like to picture Jesus. On a white horse. With power and with strength and with might. Look at me. That is our King. That is our Lord. That's the one you and I were just worshiping a moment ago. That's him. That's our daddy. That is who we serve. How many are thankful you serve an almighty God? Amen? Not a kind of okay God, an almighty God. That says all power has been given unto me in heaven. All. You know how much that leaves the enemy? Zero. All power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. All. In the original Greek, all means all. In Mississippi, we'd say 100%. The enemy has no authority at all. He's wearing all the crowns. He's got all the glory. He sits in the highest place of honor. With this in mind, I want us to look at what Ephesians says. Ephesians 1, we just read it. We just read Philippians. And let's jump to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, Paul says this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Let's stop right there. I want you to lean in. Paul says this at one point. He goes, I want you to have an understanding of the love of God, how high it is, how wide it is, how deep it is, has this understanding. And I believe we hear that a lot in Christianity now, that we need to have a revelation of God's love and a revelation of God's grace. And I believe that. But I also believe that you and I need to have a revelation of God's power, the power of God. He is not just your friend. He is your Lord. He's not just your Savior. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He rules and he reigns. But Paul says the power for us, the incredible greatness of God's power for us, for me, the power that he has, he doesn't keep it to himself. He has that power to give to you. He has that authority to give to me. He goes on and says, that is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And seated, everybody say seated. That wasn't everybody. Everybody say seated. Seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Verse 22, and God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all the things for the benefit of the church. He is not head over everything just so he can say I'm over everything. He is all powerful and has all authority for my benefit, for your benefit. He did what he did for us. And he didn't just die and resurrect, but he resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he sits there ruling and reigning, all power. And guess who is sitting with him? Boy, I wish I had some people that like to help somebody preach right now. Right? Come on. I got you, bud. You ready? We're about to go there, all right? Look who's seated. Remember where is he sitting? Right hand, but where? Far, not just above. All power, might, not just above, far above all of it. That's where he's sitting. And look at what the Bible says. Ephesians goes on in 2. He says, for he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We are seated with Christ in that place of ultimate authority. Far above, not just in heaven, right now. You see the mindset change that we need to have? I don't know if you need it, but I need it. As I was studying this the past several weeks, I said, John Ragsdale, you need to understand this, Bubba. You better get it before you preach it. You need to have an understanding of what God has called you to be and what God has called you to do. I love how the New King James says it. Ephesians 1:21, it says, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. In other words, you cannot come up with a name or a title or a position or a situation that Jesus doesn't already reign over. And neither can you come up with a situation that you and I don't reign over. You and I, every situation, we're supposed to rule and reign over. You walk into that job interview, not like this, like this. Why? Because if my daddy wants me to have this job, I'm going to get this job. Right? Moving in that career, the career that God has called you to, and some of you are in careers that are so far away from the things of God, they're so far away from ministry, and you're trying to figure out, you know how you move in that? You walk into that place like this. Bible says, every place I put my feet has become mine. This is mine. It was yours until I showed up. Now it's mine, and I'm giving it to him. I'm taking authority over every situation I walk into. I know I do. I got to hear it because we've been beat down. We've been pushed down, and the world pushes us down and beats us down, and we beat ourselves up, and we push ourselves down. And it's just time for you and I to get a little bit of, come on, I'm a king's kid. My daddy owns everything. He owns it all. He rules over it all. And I get to sit with him. I get to sit by him. Here's Jesus. All authority. That right hand, that meant all authority. That meant the king looked at you and said, you have the same authority I have. I'm going to give you my ring. It's got a signet on it. It's my initials. And when you put that signet into a wax seal, everybody knows that's the king's seal. So when you walk in, use the ring. That's why when the prodigal son came back home, the daddy gave him a robe and a ring. He said, I'm going to make sure you're clothed, you're taken care of, but I'm also going to give you back the authority. I know you sinned. I know you messed up. I know you squandered your inheritance, but I'm still going to give you your ring back, son. That meant wherever that boy went, when he put that ring down, everybody knew that's the king's kid. That's what Jesus has. Same authority. And guess who's sitting by him? What are we going to do today? Come on, what if you could wake up with that mindset? Wake up with this mindset of where you're really sitting. And I know some of you feel so far from that right now. You feel like life is reigning over you. Addictions are reigning over you. Sin is reigning over you. That cycle rules over you. That thing that you get and then it's back again. Maybe there's a person that rules and reigns over you. I don't know what it is in your life, but I want you to get this understanding. I want to give you a blast of Holy Ghost encouragement today. Get your shoulders back. Get your chest up. Know who you are in him. Know where you are seated. And understand that there is no situation or circumstance that you and I walk in that we are not supposed to rule and reign over. We rule over darkness. We rule over heaviness. We reign over depression and anxiety and addiction and any enemy, any, many, money, mo, any. Say that fast 10 times. And any enemy that could ever be invented, Jesus already reigns over it. Remember what it said? Over every name that is named and any you even make up. Come on, devil, make up a name. My God already reigns over it, and I'm sitting beside him. We rule and we reign over it. Well, I need some Presbyterians to give me a good amen right now. We have that many Presbyterians? That's amazing. Little Baptist Nazarenes. Come on, I need everybody. Give me a good heels amen. Amen. Come on. I feel it. I wish I could just take my beating heart and just hand it to you right now. You could feel what I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking over us. Let me close out. Notice it says this. It's very important you get this. It says that Christ is seated. And then it says, he raised us up and he seated us. That is an important word. And I won't be able to get to all of it today. I'm going to finish up some of this next week. If you're taking notes, write this down. Seated. When we reign, we can rest. When we reign, we can rest. Why don't you say that word with me? Just say rest. No, don't. Rest. Don't say it like that. You need to rest. No, I'm scared now, all right? Come on, those of you watching online, just say it the way you'd like it be said to you. Say, rest. And I just feel good. That's a good word, isn't it? And yet it's so foreign for most of us. It's a good message to preach on Labor Day, isn't it? Rest. When you reign, you can rest. Back to Genesis 2, verse 1. So creation, the creation of heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God finished his work of creation. So he rested from all of his work. God rested? Yes, he did. And he did it as an example to you and I. Rest. And God blessed the seventh day, declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. That word rest, when you look up in the original Hebrew, it has several different meanings. And I'm gonna break them down into four, okay? Rest means this: to cease, to stop, to be absent, to come to an end. Rest means to be absent from, to bring it to an end, to stop, to cease. In other words, God created everything, and after he created, he would say, it's good, it's good, it's good, until he created man, and then he said, it's very good. But then he created everything, and he looked at everything he had done, and he said, all right, now I'm going to be absent from this. I'm going to stop. I'm going to cease. No more creating for me. I've done it. And now everything that I created will work the way it's supposed to work. Don't have to worry about it. So I'm playing the golf tournament tomorrow. And I've been praying, God, please don't let it rain tomorrow. He don't care about my golf tournament. It's going to work the way it's supposed to work. Now, there are miracles in the Bible where God would step in and he would cause the sun to stop or he would hold back storms. But that was all for his glory. So there are times that he will do that. But for the most part, he lets things happen the way they're supposed to happen. He didn't worry, did the sun come up at the right time this morning? Nope, he created it. It came up the way it's supposed to. It's going to go down the way it's supposed to go down. Right? Until you do daylight savings time. That messes everything up. Even God says, can we do Georgia and just vote this thing out, please? You're messing with my time, all right? Here we go. And so he ceased. He pulled back everything that I've done. I've done it. Now it's now. This is why I like to think he says now that it's all working. I can focus on what I want to focus on, and that's my kids. I can focus on, I don't need to worry about that, the star, because I'm going to hang out with Adam. That's where I need to be. Some of this is, I hope this is helping you right now, because so many of us, we don't stop, we don't cease, we don't rest. It never comes to an end. It's always going. Work is always going. Worry is always going. And there's never a time that you just go, and that's why our relationships suffer. That's why our kids are not getting the time they need from us, is because there's never a time that it just stops. It's always near us. Phones, buzzing, TVs, internet, all. There's never a time that we just go, and Jesus understood this. This is why Jesus said on the cross, what's one of the last things you hear him say? Say it. It is finished. I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I've heard people say, Lord, come on, do your work. I've already done it. I've already done my work. Now it's you. Come on. My spirit in you. Y'all going to do it though, right? It's finished. I'm going to step back. So that word rest means to cease, stop, be absent, come to an end. The second meaning for rest is Sabbath. Sabbath. It's that, and it says this, God said he blessed that seventh day. He declared it holy. Stays holy. And you'll read throughout the Old Testament, he will say, don't mess with my Sabbath. That's holy to me. Don't mess with it. And I find in our generation, our culture, we just roll, man. We keep going. Now you see these shirts, no days off. Terrible. Terrible shirt. You need a day off. You need a day that says, this is my Sabbath. This is a day I'm dedicating to God. I'm dedicating to hearing from God. And I'm dedicating to resting and rejuvenating. I'm resting. Listen to me. You know those things called the commandments? There's 10 of them. One of them is keep the Sabbath, make it holy. And it's right there with murder. I mean, I dare think any of you would just today think, you know what, I'm just going to shoot somebody. Right? I'm just going to murder somebody. Now, some of you probably did think that today. I don't know. But no, really, you would never think about just, I'm going to go premeditated murder someone. And yet, we just skip over our Sabbath every week. Amen. You just roll right through it. Take a day. I love it. It's the first day of the week. I'm going to take that day. And I'm saying the rest of the week is dedicated. It's like a tithe. I'm taking that first fruit, that 10%, and everything else is now dedicated to you. It's now cleansed. The curse is taken off of it, and watch God work. I'm telling you, if you'll just take a day off, you'll see God do great things in your life. Man, y'all are quiet. Is it my breath? Come on, I need my folks online. Just give me an amen. Out in the overflow, give me a big amen. Come on. Amen. Watch this. I'd never seen this before in my life, and I'm almost done, I promise. I'd never seen this before. That word rest in Genesis, cease, stop, be absent, come to an end, Sabbath, watch this. It also means to perish or to die. The word rest, God rested. In other words, there's a part of us that has to die to something else before we can really rest. Work's got to die. Worry, you got to die. Allowing the things that you should not be focused on in that moment to pass away. They're gone. Stop doing, begin being. Be present. Be in the moment. You hear that all the time. Oh, but it's true. Be in the moment. Be present. Look her in the eyes when she talks to you. Spend time. Hear your kids. Be present. Our executive directors, Casey Millison, she's been with us since the beginning of the Hills. She's served in every area of the church. She's even led worship before. She's done it all. And she's a single foster mom. She's adopted her first foster daughter. Now she fosters two other young men. And I had an idea the other day that I sent to her and someone else on our staff as a voice memo. Hey, I got an idea. What if you did this? Shot it off. This was, I think, Friday night. And I didn't hear back. And so my phone has been messing up. Some of my voice memos haven't been going on. So I just shot them a text. Hey, making sure y'all got that voice memo. And one perp replied, yes, I did. I read it. Thank you. Casey replied and said, I did, Pastor. But I'm being really intentional when my boys now are at school, when they're home on the weekend, and my daughter, to really be with them. So my phone is on do not disturb. If you need me, of course, an emergency, you reach out. And I just thought, way to go, girl. Way to go. Just taking some time to be in the world, to be present. There was a TV show that I've only seen the beginning of called Severance. Anybody ever seen it? Have you seen this show? It's called Severance. And I can't condone it because I haven't seen it, all right? But apparently the gist of the TV show is these people voluntarily go through a procedure where when they go to work, they don't remember anything outside of work. And when they leave work, they don't remember anything that happened at work. They're like two different human beings. And I'm sure it ends tragically. There's something bad that goes wrong. You know, we wouldn't be watching a show that, oh, this is a great life. No, something bad's got to happen, right? You're not going to watch it anymore. But can you imagine, though, if we could really do that? Just cut that off. And I'm with my family. I'm with my kids. Phone's off. Computer's off. Social media's off. I was watching football yesterday. Come on. Football's back, y'all. Let's go, Bulldogs. Come on. Yeah. No, listen, though. Hear me. I was watching. I just caught a glimpse of this. I assume it's a beer commercial. But there's a bottle opener that turns work off. And work just shuts down. Wouldn't that be cool just to have a button? Beep. You just forget everything at work. Everything else, anywhere else. I'm encouraging you, let some things die. When you're on vacation, be on vacation. When you're playing golf with me, I don't want you on your phone, okay? Right? When you're sitting across that date night with her, that's not the time to check the calendar. When your kids are in your world, let me tell you right now, I got a 24 and a 20. You better soak up every moment that they're paying attention to you. Every moment. Am I just preaching to me today? And then finally, I want the band to come join me. I've got more to my notes, but I've already gone over my time, so let me bring it down. That's another reason you want to come to 9 o'clock. I never preach long there because I got another service afterwards. We had a guy that used to come to our church, and he said, I come for the preaching in the first service and for the worship in the second service because I know you're not going to preach over time, and I know the band's already practiced it on the first service, so the best of both worlds. So rest means to cease, to stop, to be absent, come to an end. It means a Sabbath. It means to perish, to die. And finally, that word rest, when it says, and God rested, it means to celebrate. Come on. Until I read that, I've always kind of pictured, you know, when God created everything. And he rested. It was like some big holy hammock, you know? He just lay down in and just swung and sipped an Arnold Palmer, you know, just the angels fanning him with their wings. You know, just that. But no, that word Sabbath means to celebrate, man. Have a party. I mean, it's a God. He hadn't created this stuff before. This is the first time he'd ever done this. He was new to the job. He had faith in his own word that it was going to work out. God never asked you to do something he won't do. He asked us to operate by faith in his word. He did the same thing. He said, let there be light. Light. Oh, it's good. I'm making more stuff. All right? It's good. And so at the end of all, he rested. He celebrated. I don't know if he lit candles or confetti. He celebrated. He looked at all this creation and said, man, this is good. I want to encourage you to celebrate more. Encourage me to celebrate more. Don't just celebrate the touchdown, celebrate the first down. Celebrate the movement you made. Celebrate the next step, right? Celebrate. I mean, some of you have been stuck in a place so long that even one step is a big deal. And today, I believe this week, when you do it, one step, just trombones, right? Celebrate it. Those that have struggled with depression, come on, you got out of bed today. Celebrate that. Those that have battled grief, you've had loss in your life. Come on, you made it through a day without just wanting to go hide under the bed. Celebrate it. You made it through a year of marriage. You made it through 30 years. You're a single adult and you're doing good. You're not waiting on that person to complete you. One is a whole number. You know that, right? Celebrate it. Enjoy it. Don't rush the kids through. Enjoy every moment they have. We had someone come to our house one time when our boys were young. They were hanging out with us that morning, and one of the boys came walking in, sleeping, and we were like, oh, hey, baby, I love you. You're so handsome. And they said, this person said, do you do this every morning? Yep, every morning. Every morning. Literally to this day, the boys walk in, you are the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my life. You handsome thing. You, I love you. I'll give you anything you want. We do it every, and they just, okay, good morning. I love you too. Okay. Come on. What if you could soak that in today? Listen to me. Today, when you go have lunch or brunch, whatever you're going to do, why don't you turn your phone off? Why don't you look them in the eye and celebrate that spouse that God gave you? Celebrate those friends that God gave you. Celebrate the fact to take some time and enjoy it and be thankful and rest. Come on, how many receive this word today? I do. Me. The Bible says the Holy Spirit does a couple of things. One, it convicts. And that word convict doesn't mean you're bad, you're wrong. It says this, he convicts us of not understanding the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what he convicts you of. It convicts you of your sin. You have a conscience for that. He convicts you of not understanding who your God is. I want us to be convicted of that, that I'm seated with him. And the other thing the Holy Spirit does is it comforts. I like to think of that. We have this big fluffy down comfort on our bed. Man, I love that thing. Pull that thing up. My wife has a weighted blanket. That's what I like to think of when I think of comforter. Just a security blanket. Doesn't that feel good? Just to blanket you in peace and blanket you in love. And just a blanket of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. This is important because I want to do something. I don't want anybody to feel out of place or awkward. No one looking around. I want to see the hands of those of you that have been struggling with rest lately. Just raise your hand. You've been struggling with it. Rest has been an issue for you. Okay, put them down. Now, again, eyes closed. How many of you have been struggling with sleep lately? Raise your hand. Sleep's been an issue. All right. I felt that today during prayer, and I've struggled with insomnia and sleeplessness myself, and it's tormenting. And I just want to pray over you right now. Lord, I pray for every person, every hand that was raised that's been struggling with peace and not having rest and not being able to sleep. Lord, I pray right now that you would just blanket them with your peace, with your rest. That God, that you would just allow them to feel tonight, this week. Let them know that you care for them. Let angels guard them. I speak against every tormenting spirit, every nightmare in Jesus' name, every spirit of fear in the name of the Lord. You have no right. You have no place. In Jesus' name, peace, rest.